Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is January 3rd, 2018. Happy New Year, everyone. We were out last week. Feels like we were gone forever, but we are back and we are excited to be back and to start another new year here at WDIY. I hope everyone had a safe and joyful holiday and New Year and all of that. And I'm determined to be positive this year. So that's what we're working toward. Let me tell you the numbers on the market. The markets were, let me tell you in just a sec here, the markets were up today. The Dow closing at 24,772, the S&P at 2690, and the NASDAQ at 6991. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about looking forward to 2018 and to-dos. So what do I mean by that? Well, to-dos, it's easier to say that than New Year's resolutions, maybe. So it's going to be kind of a soft show tonight. Of course, you can always call and ask questions about whatever you might be curious about. I will certainly try to answer any questions that you might have. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay. We can talk without confusion if you want to talk live on air. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and she'll bring it into the studio, and then I'll do my best in answering it. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. I have to tell you, boy, leading up to end of year, crazy. Lots of hours. Lots of head spinning as the tax reform changed from day to day. It was quite crazy, but we seemed to get through it. And it was also my reporting period for my CPA. So I was busily getting all of my last minute hours in to renew my CPA license. We have to do that every couple years. And we have about 80 hours of required education for the CPA. So that's all good. And trying to get informed with the tax reform changes. Some of the presenters were putting together last-minute presentations. I think on December 29th, I was still doing one for a couple hours. It is confusing. I may touch on some of that at the end of the show as I go through this, but I wanted to kind of give some softer ideas because when we talk about looking forward to 2018, generally, we look at a new year as an opportunity to start fresh. Sometimes we look at spring as a time to start fresh. I like to think of now the days are getting longer. So that's exciting. And that's another way to feel like we're looking forward to something and getting fresh. But generally, when we start a new year, that is the time of year that people make New Year's resolutions. And we talk about what we want to do in the forthcoming year. So I thought I would talk about a few things tonight before we get started on maybe some examples and maybe how this might apply to our financial life and financial goals as well. So let's talk. So talk about resolutions. Resolutions are generally goal setting. Goal setting, quite often people talk about starting diets, getting healthy, losing weight, spending quality time with their family, perhaps, or getting your financial life in order. So I want to share with you some information that I read and watched over the weekend to set the stage for the show tonight and how we can fulfill any of our goals in a healthy, disciplined way, kind of a new approach. I was really intrigued by some information that I got over the weekend that kind of just came together. And I thought this was really interesting to me. And so I thought I had to share it with you. So I happened to be on YouTube, happened to be at home. They're probably laughing because I watch a lot of YouTube. I don't know why. It's quick. It's short. I don't have to be too invested. When I'm not watching NCIS reruns with my husband, I'm watching YouTube. So I happened to be on YouTube and I watched an interview that Tony Robbins had done. Tony Robbins being the motivational speaker that, you know, the power of everything. And he was interviewing a gentleman named Ray Dalio. Ray Dalio runs the largest hedge fund in the world. It's called Bridgewater Associates, and he is one of the richest men in the world as well, on the Forbes 2017 list with a net worth of $17 billion, and he's also a philanthropist. I think I heard or saw somewhere that he joined in with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett in pledging to give away half of his net worth, you know, for philanthropic causes. So I, you know, started watching that interview, and then I went down the rabbit hole and started watching other interviews, and then I started reading articles, and, you know, I was really intrigued. And just let me mention that he has written a book called Principles. I've not read it, but a lot of his techniques that he's honed over the years, he decided to kind of put in this book. What he said is, you have a different parts of your life. You know, there's one piece where you're, you know, you're growing and you're learning, and then you're developing and earning. And now he's in that transition stage of moving on where he wants to give back. And what's worked for him, he's going to share. So that book is called Principles. In the discussion between Tony Robbins and Ray Dalio, I was motivated to take notes because so much of what he said resonated for goal setting. And in my line of work, financial services, these are some of the first things we talk to clients about: goal setting. What are your goals? What are your goals? If you don't have goals, then what are you working toward? And if you don't have goals, then you know, it's like driving on a road with no lines. You just are all over the road. Whereas if you have lines and a map and you have a pinpoint of where you're going, you're more likely to get to that destination in the most efficient way possible. So this talked about goal setting, this interview. So I'm going to be paraphrasing from a number of sources here, but want to share what stood out to me immediately. And what Ray Dalio said was, pain plus reflection equals progress. I thought that was really interesting. Pain plus reflection equals progress. Just think about how many times we go through our lives where someone says something that just rubs us the wrong way. We get upset. You know, someone might say, I don't know, you know, Lori, why don't you, you know, work harder, or Lori, what were you thinking? And you get upset about it, and it could be painful. Or I make a mistake. In fact, there was just a little blurb of something that happened today, and it's like, well, it's good when we have mistakes, if we learn from them and can move forward, and hopefully the mistakes are small and not so consequential, but will help us to avoid more consequential problems in the past, in the future, I mean. So pain plus reflection. And pain is, you know, maybe I wasn't kind to someone. Maybe I wasn't good with my kids. Maybe I shouldn't have spent that money on, you know, that frivolous purchase. So there could be some pain there. And with the reflection, and what Ray is talking about in these interviews is genuine reflection, looking back, why did I feel that way? Why did I do that? What can I do better? Reflection will move us to progress. So in talking about goals, he said you have to establish goals, and your goals are what do you want? But then also pair that with the reality, what is true, the reality of what is it that you want, but how, you know, is it, are you being truthful with yourself even in having these goals, and how do you do that, and how do we go through this process? So he listed basically five kind of steps, which I'll go through after we get back from the break. But the steps are, number one, set goals. Number two, identify problems. Three, find the root cause. Four, fix the problems. And five, persevere or push through. So at face value, that doesn't really tell me a lot, and it could sound kind of simplistic even, but we're going to delve into what he means a little bit deeper to see how this can help us. But I also, lucky you, read an article in the New York Times about New Year's resolutions. And I thought the New York Times article on December 29th by David DeStenno was fascinating as well. And he was suggesting a new approach on meeting those resolutions in how we talk to ourselves in motivating ourselves. So I'm going to put these two ideas together as we go through the show and see what we can do to help our listeners and ourselves in reaching our goals, whatever they might be for the year. And then in particular, toward the end of the show, maybe talk about how this might apply financially to our financial decisions. So if you have questions or comments, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Lehigh Valley Physician Hospital Organization, or LVPHO, whose physicians endorse Choosing Wisely, a national program dedicated to reducing waste in healthcare and initiating conversations about topics like antibiotics. LVPHO provides 5 questions to ask your doctor to determine whether antibiotics are the best choice for you. Learn more at ask-five.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And tonight we're talking about looking forward to 2018, what to-dos we have, but not only what to-dos we have, let's take a step back before we even talk about the to-dos and talk about some framework around how we approach those to-dos. So as I mentioned moments ago, this is in reference to a couple different resources that I had this weekend. One was listening to a YouTube video where Tony Robbins interviewed Ray Dalio, and then I went down and I watched his TED Talk. He did a TED Talk. I watched interviews on a number of different shows that he was on and just kind of gleaned some of these aspects from this and some articles I read. And then also I mentioned a New York Times article by David DeStenno, which I'll talk about once I finish talking about Ray. If you have questions or comments, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I want to give some ideas and some input on ways maybe that can help us reach our goals this year, whatever they might be. So Ray had this system: set goals, identify problems, find the root cause, fix the problems, and persevere or push through. So let's talk about setting goals. First of all, he says, you know, you have to have clear goals, and you have to be true to what, you know, are like, is there reality around these goals? Okay, love my son, but he often walks around and says he's going to be a millionaire. Well, that's all nice, but what are the goals? How are we going to get there? Because if we're not clear and it's not reality because we're not taking any steps to get there, then that's not really a goal, is it? It's a dream. So we want to set goals, have clear goals. So, for example, one of the goals could be, I want to retire. But that's not really a clear goal, right? What would be clearer? You might want to say, I want to retire at 62. Well, then I might push you. Well, let's be a little clearer than that. What else? Well, maybe I want to retire at 62, work part-time, travel, move to Florida, sell my house. You know, we can get a lot of clarity around a statement like that because then it flows through into the next steps. It's like a domino effect. So the first step, set goals, be really, really clear and be really true and understand the reality behind the goal that you have. Number two then. So I have my goal. This goal's retire at 62. Let's say retire at 62 and work part time. But I have a call and I'm going to go to that call before I go to the next step. We have Mark from Allentown on line one. Hi, Mark. Can you hear me? Hi, Mark, can you hear me? We don't have Mark. Mark, I apologize. I'm not sure why we, let's try again. There you go, Mark. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear
there
you.
There we go. Hi, sorry about that. How can I help you tonight?
Okay, I am 60. I will be 60 in March of this year.
Okay.
I will be starting to collect a pension at that time.
Okay.
The plan is to try to live off the pension, but I may need my retirement savings, I'll say, as a supplemental source of income.
Okay.
And my retirement savings is made up of a 401k. I've got a couple of Roth IRAs. I have a traditional IRA. I'm trying to get a sense for what's the proper sequence or sort of method for deciding the order to withdraw those funds when I decide to use them.
Okay, Mark. Well, it sounds like there are a lot of things going on. What I would say when you mention that you're getting a pension and you want to live off the pension, that right there is telling me that you probably have a sense of what your cash flow is and what your anticipated expenses are if you think you can live off your pension. So if that's an incorrect assumption on my part and you haven't gone through that exercise, my first, you know, idea would be go through the exercise to make sure that it's reality that you can get your pension and live off your pension. Having said that, then we talk about typically having an emergency reserve and what would that look like and where are those funds? If you've listened to past shows, I often talk about Roth IRAs being an option for an emergency reserve, that if all of a sudden you had something come up and you needed $10,000, you might be able to tap the Roth IRAs without having any tax consequences. What I would expect in your situation at age 60, and this is general information because I don't know all the specifics, and please don't give them to me on the radio, but generally what I'm expecting is when you're someone who's 60 years old and you retire, you don't have Social Security yet, and if you don't plan on working again, you need to make sure your money's going to last. So it's a combination of cash flow and tax planning and investment management. So you want to make sure that all of those things are going to work together for you to optimize your opportunity as you go through retirement and depending on how long you live. Because Social Security, the earliest you can collect it is at 62, but that might not be the right time to collect. So you really probably need to do some kind of a projection or income plan. But I would say look to make sure you know and understand what your cash flow is and if, in fact, the pension's going to meet your needs. And if it's not, do you need to take money out of traditional IRAs or 401ks? You are 60, which means there's no penalty on taking money out of your IRA or 401k, but there is income tax. So the next thing I would look at when you say you have a 401k still, if you have it with a former employer, you want to look to see if you had any employee stock or employer stock in that plan. If you had any employer stock in that plan, there might be some tax attributes applicable to that that could be beneficial to you.
So, I do.
Yeah. So that could be an option for you when we talk about, you know, once you're retired and your income comes down and you just have the pension, and again, don't give me numbers, but let's pretend your pension's only $24,000. Well, you might have room on your tax return in your tax brackets to put more money on your return, more taxable money on your return to pay your brackets. That's when I might look at, gosh, is it time to take advantage of the employer stock in that plan? There's something called net unrealized appreciation. So you want to find out what the cost basis is in that employer stock. That would be something you definitely want to know. And so I think you have to do a little bit more homework about where is it going to be the best place to take money out of any accounts if, in fact, you might need it. And let's say you don't need the money, Mark, then you might want to look at, as I said, if your tax brackets, you know, are such that you could put more income on your return. If you don't need the money, you could do conversions to Roth IRAs. So there's a number of things you have going on. Those are just some highlights of things you need to watch out for. But based on the information, I can't specifically tell you where it would be best to take the money from without understanding the investment, you know, options and the cash flow and tax situation.
Okay. All right. I understand.
Okay. Good job, okay. Bo. But find out that information on the cost basis of the employer stock. That will be very powerful for you to know. It could make a big difference.
Okay.
Okay, great. Have a good night. Thank you for calling. Folks, we're talking about looking forward to 2018. So I will take more calls if you have them, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And when we come back, I'll continue my discussion about getting ready for the to-dos. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY 88.1. And I forgot to mention at the top of the show, which I try to do, is that podcasts from prior shows are available on the website at WDIY.org or through the website for the show, YourFinancialChoices.com. You can listen to prior shows that way if you've missed any, and look for the topics that might be of interest to you. So talking about setting goals, we talked about clear goals. Be very specific. In fact, the more specific you can be, probably the truer you are to those and the more chance for reaching those goals. For example, you know, GPS, you say, hey, I want to go to New York City. Well, that's not going to give you the exact directions of where you're going to get in New York City. I don't know where it's going to take you, maybe the Port Authority. Then you could say, well, I want to go to New York City. I want to go to 42nd and 8th Avenue. Well, it's going to take you to 42nd and 8th Avenue. Well, maybe I don't really want to go to a 42nd 8th Avenue. I want to go to Dallas Barbecue on 42nd Street. So I'd want to know the address of that restaurant to make sure that I get to the right place. So the more clear you can be, the clearer you can be, the better. We have another caller on line one. We have Lena. Lena from McCungee. Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hi, how can I help you?
So just in the spirit of planning. my husband and I just got married in mid-2017, and we haven't really kind of merged or done really any estate or financial planning.
Okay.
So kind of, I guess, where do you start? Who do we need to talk to?
Okay.
To get all that lined up appropriately.
Okay. Well, this is a great question, and great in that you actually have already started just by asking the question. So that's great. I generally try to tell folks the best way to start is to do an inventory of your accounts, what kind of accounts they are, how they're titled. Are there beneficiaries of those accounts? Those are your assets. And then you want to do an inventory of your liabilities. You may or may not own a home yet. You may or may not own your cars. You might have loans on those. And then I like to make sure that the folks understand the income that they're getting on their investments, or how their investments are, you know, how you've invested and what kind of returns you're getting on those. Or where are they? So like if you have $10,000 in a bank account, or you have $10,000 invested in an IRA or a Roth IRA. And then on the liabilities, I want to understand what the dollar amount of the liability is, what the monthly payment is, what's the interest rate, what's the term of the loan. So you're doing an inventory of kind of the details of your assets and your liabilities. And then you two can sit together and say, okay, where are we with these? Sometimes when people come into a marriage, if they've been to college, they come in with student loans. Sometimes you like to keep those separate. But when you come in with separate bank accounts, you have to then have a conversation with each other about, do we want to keep these separate, or do we want to make them joint? Do we want to keep these separate but start a new account joint? Because one of the things that happens, Lena, is when you get married, when you combine your accounts, they now become marital assets. In the event you were ever to divorce, they are marital assets subject to division. So depending on state law and things like that. But you still might want to combine them. My husband and I have had joint accounts since we were dating. So, you know, I'm not saying you should do it one way or another, but sometimes one spouse might come into the, you know, relationship with lots of money, and the other one might come in with lots of debt. So you mm-hmm. may not want to combine those. So I think if you both do the inventory kind of together, and then sit down and kind of have a good conversation about it and how you want to move forward, that's a good step. Then you also want to make sure you understand, you know, your retirement accounts. If, you know, with younger people, I think it's a great way to start doing that, and then also start with retirement accounts, typically through your employer. If you are below certain income thresholds, you can do Roth IRAs. That's another great way to save. So who do you go talk to? Sometimes if you have no money, you may not need a financial advisor or an investment advisor. And some of this you can kind of start on your own by listening to shows like this and getting some feedback and input. At such time you feel comfortable investing or doing some things on your own, there are you know, custodians out there, or brokers that you could work through, or independent where you can do it on your own. There's also investment advisors that you pay to do it. And you can find those online and Google and things like that too. CFP has a website, cfp.net. You can find certified financial planner professionals in your area. They have a fiduciary standard that they must, you know, embrace, and that is to act in the best interest of the client. So if you're just getting started, chances are it may not be, you know, worth hiring a financial advisor. It might be too expensive. But I think if you start at least with that inventory and have that conversation, I think it's awesome if you start that early with your spouse and make it a regular kind of thing to check in with each other where you are and how you're both saving, and even to the point of what kind of withholdings are you doing on your payroll? Because I've seen a number of times where, you know, the husband might be withholding like nearly nothing and the wife is withholding everything. And if you're keeping accounts separate, that doesn't sound quite fair either. So you kind of want to try to make sure you're both working together and what your goal is together. Like if it's to buy a house or to have a family or, you know, pay off debts, How are you going to do that together? So,
right.
Does that help
thank
a little
you.
Bit?
It
gives
yeah,
you some framework?
Great.
Yeah. I think you need to get started first together. And then from there, if that's working, then eventually you can check out the advisor option. Okay?
All right.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Great, Lena. Thank you for calling. Have a good night. I love these proactive people. And let me say, already thinking ahead and being proactive and trying to, just as Mark was, who called earlier, thinking ahead, you're already ahead of other people. Because when you're proactive and trying to anticipate what you need to do, I got so many ideas in my head. I can't talk fast enough one of the things I saw in this interview with Ray Dalio over the weekend, which really impressed me because I've always worried that I'm such a worrier. But what I loved is he said, frankly, the people who don't worry are the ones who should worry. And the people who worry generally are okay because they're anticipating problems and then plan for them. And I loved that because I also share that message quite often on the show when I say people who think they have money generally don't, and the people who don't think they have money generally do. I mean, that's a really, really big generalization, but quite often I've seen it. People who think they don't have any money quite often do, and it's because they don't think they have money, they don't spend. So the same thing when you're, let's not call it worrying, because I'm trying to be really positive this year. And that's what I'm going to talk about as we go through the next half of the show, trying to be positive and inspiring ourselves and motivating ourselves with nicer, gentler ways than kind of punishing ourselves with the choices that we're making. When we come back, I'll continue my conversation about looking forward to 2018. If you have questions, I love it, though. I love when you call 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
This is WDIY. The time is now 6:31. Tonight is low around 8 degrees. Thursday, sunny with the high near 19. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with the low around 7. And on Friday, you have a slight chance of snow, and it's going to get low to 22. Keep it here. We have more with Lori Siebert on your financial choices.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back. So, Ray Dalio, who again is runs the largest hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater Associates, one of the richest men in the world, and also a philanthropist, and had written a book called Principles, laid out some ideas to help people make progress. And one was setting goals, being very, very clear about that. Number two, identify the problems or mistakes. He is a big proponent of mistakes. He said, mistakes, you learn so, so much. And that goes back to the pain plus reflection equals progress. So identifying the problems or mistakes, understand the problems to reaching the goals, and don't tolerate them. How about that? So problem, I don't know if I will have enough money to retire. Well, if I don't know if I'll have enough money to retire, I need to figure that out and find out if I have enough. So you identify the problem and you figure out a solution to that, which is the next step. Find the root cause to the problems and find a solution to them. Pain plus reflection equals progress. So finding the root cause may be painful. So for example, goal, retire early. Remember, I said that's not clear enough, but for my example, I'm trying to get through these topics. Goal, retire early. Problem, I don't have enough money. Practical solution, save more money. Root cause of that problem is I don't make enough money. The reality is I spend too much. Dig deeper. I spend without thinking, or I spend without accounting for what I spend. dig deeper. I spend because I'm depressed and I feel better when I shop. Do you see? So that's not me, you guys. I'm just, because I don't shop. I hate shopping. So that's just an example of how you have your goal, your clear goal. You identify the problem to reach your goal. You find the root cause of that problem. And when you keep digging deeper until you find that root cause, you're going to keep repeating the same pattern. So then you need to fix the problem with the plan. So you want to design a plan to get past those problems by laying out steps to do so. Be specific and task oriented. So if I found out that the reason I can't have enough money to retire because I don't save enough, because I spend too much, because I'm depressed, because I feel better when I shop, well, maybe I need to find out why am I depressed. Maybe I need to work on that, which is what we're doing in the show. We're working on ways to be positive this year and try to motivate ourselves in a healthy new way, which I'm going to talk about when I talk about the New Year's resolution article from the New York Times. And then the last thing is persevere or push through. So push through the results, understanding the long-term goal is only after going through the process of the steps it takes to reach that goal. So I'll talk about the New York Times article in a minute. Bill called from Bethlehem and he said, he's 62 now. He'll work full-time until 66 or 70. He has no savings, where and how to go forward. Bill, you're working full time and you're thinking you want to work till 66 or 70 and you don't have savings. What I would say is this goes back to almost exactly what I've been talking about tonight. So when we talk about the goal, if you want to retire, I would ask yourself a couple things. Number one, you've been working and you want to continue working full time. The first thing is, do you have a pension? Is there any pension available to you? Because that's going to help you in your retirement years. Even though you don't have savings, you might have a pension and that helps. The reason a lot of us need savings is because we don't have pensions. And when we retire, we have no source of income that we're going to have to use our savings to help with our cash flow. So number one, do you have a pension? So then you might say, no, Lori, I don't have a pension and I don't have savings. Well, if you work full time now and until 66 or 70, you, I would expect, should have some Social Security available to you. Then I would say, Bill, do you know what that is? And if you don't know what it is, you can go on the Social Security website, ssa.gov. That's for Social Security Administration, ssa.gov. Set up an account for yourself. It's called, I think, My Account. You set up an account for yourself. You have to answer a bunch of security questions. And then you can get your Social Security statement. They may have mailed it to you when you turn 60. You might have one sitting in a drawer. Because you really need to know how much money you're going to have in your retirement years. And Bill, did you know if you wait longer, you earn an 8% premium on your Social Security? So if you told me you had longevity in your family, you're going to live a really long life, you don't mind working, you like working, it's not stressing you out, it's not killing you, well, keep working then. And you could work until age 70. You're earning an 8% premium on your Social Security by waiting to collect. That's going to give you an extra boost in your retirement. But is that going to be enough to meet your needs? So if it's not going to be enough to meet your needs, you're 62 now, you have 5 years, maybe 8 years to start saving and to build up a bucket. First place I'd look is at work. Do you have a retirement plan at work? Are you contributing to that retirement plan at work? You said you have no savings. Well, if you have a retirement plan at work and your employer matches, if you're not putting money into that plan, you're losing free money. So you want to see if there's a retirement plan at work and if you are eligible to participate, participate. If there is not a plan at work, you have other options such as a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. So you could start putting money into those accounts. You're going to have to look to see if you have extra money, savings available to do that. You might tell me you spend every penny you have on your housing and your transportation and food, and that's it, not a penny left. Well, if it was me, I probably would go get another part-time job. That's just how I am. I would want that extra money to be able to have something to save. So if what you're doing now is only meeting your basic needs, you got to work a little bit more. If you are spending more than your basic needs, meaning you're buying the coffees instead of making it at home, you're going out to eat instead of eating at home, you're buying a lot of junk, or you're a hoarder or something like that. Now that is the problem. That goes back to what Ray Dalio talks about. Identify the problems, find the root cause, and fix the problem, if that's it. Again, I understand some people, your job just barely pays for your living expenses. I get that. But this is where you kind of got to reflect. You know, maybe you could rent a room. Maybe you could rent instead of own a home. So you need to kind of identify how you're going to get to where you want to be by exploring some of the what's the problem to what's the barrier to you reaching your goal of retiring at 66 or 70. So check out, do you have a pension? Check out your Social Security amount. Check out if you have a retirement plan at work, through work. How do you participate? Get involved. Put some of the money away, automatic contributions to the plan. Make sure, you know, you've got it invested in a way that it's going to help you a little bit. So good luck, Bill. I hope that helped a little bit. So folks, we've talked about the setting the goals. Be very, very clear on your goals. The clearer you can be, the better. Identify the problems or mistakes and why you haven't been able to reach those goals. Find the root cause for the problems. Fix the problems. Persevere. Push through. So let's talk about the New Year's resolutions now for a minute. So this was a New York Times article. I really liked it. It was on December 29th. It's David DeSteno. And he said that by January 8th, which is only 5 days away, 25% of resolutions have fallen by the wayside. By the time the year ends, he said fewer than 10% have been fully kept. And I actually think that sounds like a high number. So fewer than 10% have been fully kept. He told of studies that show people who can persevere toward their long-term goals in the face of temptation to do otherwise are best positioned for success. So people who can persevere toward their long-term goals in the face of temptation to do otherwise are best positioned for success. And he referenced that little marshmallow study where they said to a kid, hey, you know, you want one marshmallow now, or 15 minutes later, I'll give you two marshmallows. And the kids who could wait the 15 minutes showed more self-control, ended up being more successful. So use willpower to increase self-control. This is what traditionally people have thought, using willpower to increase self-control. But people are still not reaching their goals or following through on their resolutions. Why? DeSteno explains in his article. And so I want to read from his article for a moment. And this is quoted from his article. Given self-control's importance for success, it seems as if evolution should have provided us with a tool for it, and that was less excruciating to use. So given self-control's importance for success, it seems as if evolution should have provided us with a tool for it that was less excruciating to use. I believe it did. We're just ignoring it. That tool is our social emotions. These are the emotions, things like gratitude and compassion, that support the positive aspects of social life. For years, I've been studying the effects of these emotions on decision-making and behavior, and I've found that unlike reason and willpower, they naturally incline us to be patient and persevere. When you are experiencing these emotions, self-control is no longer a battle, for they work not by squashing our desires for pleasure in the moment, but by increasing how much we value the future. He also said self-control isn't about feeling miserable. Okay, so that was all from David DeSteno's article in the New York Times on December 29th. So while some people do meet their goals through strict, disciplined self-control and willpower, it may come at a cost to their health. So instead, using your social emotions may drive the same results without the stressful impact. This is what he talked about in the article. His study showed that gratitude and compassion and an authentic sense of pride push people to behave in ways that show self-control. So gratitude, compassion, and pride. He says, if using willpower causes stress, using these emotions actually heals. They slow heart rate, lower blood pressure, and reduce feelings of anxiety and depression. By making us value the future more, they ease the way to patience and perseverance. So that was David DeStano of the New York Times, who's the author of the forthcoming book, Emotional Success, The Power of Gratitude, Compassion, and Pride. So listeners, let's do an experiment. Let's see if we collectively can set our goals, identify our problems, find the cause of those problems, design a plan to overcome them, and push through to get the results we want, all through embracing gratitude, compassion, and an authentic sense of pride. So when we come back, I want to kind of run through maybe a little example of this and how this would all apply. If you have questions, we still have 15 minutes left. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We will be back in just a minute.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Pennsylvania School Boards Association, celebrating success stories from public school classrooms across the state. Learn more at successstartshere.org. We thank the Pennsylvania School Boards Association, celebrating success stories from public school classrooms across the state. Learn more at successstartshere.org. WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about looking forward to 2018. To-dos, resolutions, kind of putting a new wrapper on it. Let's try something different, see if it works. And I kind of put together a conglomeration of information that I was watching and reading and listening to over the weekend. And that was Tony Robbins' interview with Ray Dalio, and along with many other interviews I continued to watch of his. And something he said just really spoke to me about his method, and I jumped on it, along with an article that I had read in the New York Times about being compassionate and having gratitude with ourselves and in kind of reaching our goals. So let's talk about what this might look like. It is a financial show, Your Financial Choices. So I thought, okay, we'll apply it to what holds us back in reaching our financial goals. So for example, a goal, remember we said to be clear, but we might just say we want to be financially independent. Well, what does it mean to be financially independent for you? Does it mean that you don't have to worry about what you spend? Does it mean that you can retire at a certain age? Does it mean that you don't have any debt? So you want to get clear on the goal. So I'm going to make up a goal, and I'm going to say my goal for 2018 is to save 25% of my net pay after taxes, medical cost, and retirement savings. So 25% of my net pay. So my net pay, you know, your gross pay, you pay your taxes out of your gross pay, you pay medical deductions out of your gross pay if you have an employer plan, and money that goes into my retirement account. So when all of that's taken care of, I have a net paycheck, and I want to save 25% of my net pay. So that sounds like a good goal. It sounds really intriguing to me. I'll have to see if I could actually do this. So that would be my goal. Now, identify the problem. what might be a problem to reach my goal of saving 25% of my net pay. I might not know what my net pay is. I might not pay attention to where my money goes. I need to know if, in fact, I can save 25% of my net pay. So, for example, Bill called earlier about, you know, is he going to have enough to retire or, you know, what can he do to move forward? Well, in his case, Bill, you know, my goal is to pay, you know, save 25% of my net pay. I might not know what my net pay is, so I've got to sit down and crunch some numbers. You might need to do that same thing to see what you can do. Let's see what other problems I might have encountered when I'm looking at this. So I'm using myself as a guinea pig. I might not know how much I spend. So I would have to know how much I do to see if it's realistic, back to the reality and truth of our goals. Is it realistic that I would be able to save that much? Maybe 25% was too much. So maybe to be more realistic, I might say 10%. If I'm putting 10% into my retirement account, could I save 10% of my net pay so that I have that somewhere like emergency in my bank, you know, to invest outside of a retirement account? That might be more realistic, 10%. I'm going to continue on with the 25% example, but being truthful, maybe 10% would be more doable. So if I really not sure about my net pay, not sure if I can save 25% because I don't know what my net pay is, I don't know what my expenses are, what's the cause of that problem? Why do I not know? Well, maybe I don't have a budget or I don't know how to budget. I hate the word budget. I get sick when I hear about budget. Maybe I'm making this up, but so what could I do? How can I overcome this? So I have to design a plan. So what is a plan that I can figure out how much I spend? Well, one of the plans or methods we use when we're talking to clients who especially don't like budgets is something called the funnel method, where you take all of your net pay and put it into a savings account and you transfer once a month the amount of your living expenses, you know, your required non-discretionary living expenses. So let's pretend my net pay is, you know, $2,000 a month, and I put $2,000 a month into that savings account, and I think I only spend $1,800 a month, then I would move $1,800 a month from that savings account into my checking account. And I write my checks every month. And if I'm always kind of even, then that's pretty accurate. I'm spending $1,800. I thought I was spending $1,800. My bank account is always running zero. But in the meantime, my savings account is building up $200 a month, $200 a month, $200 a month. And now I've, you know, built up some cash by the end of the year. That way I know that I was pretty accurate with that. If I am always zeroing out and having to take more out of my savings account, then I really wasn't realistic in what I said my expenses were. It wasn't a good budget amount. So you have to find a plan that's going to work for you. Some people use apps on their phone. Someone told me just this recently, I'm going to have to ask her again what the app was that she uses. It's almost the old-fashioned envelopes that people used to use on their counter, the envelope for the utilities, the envelope for the groceries, the envelope for the gas. You do that on your phone on an app, so it's a budgeting app. I think when I looked recently, the most successful budgeting app was still the one Mint on Mint.com, M-I-N-T, Mint.com. I had them on the radio show probably 5 years ago, and I had just recently seen something that they were still one of the top budgeting apps that was out there. So find something that's going to work for you. Maybe an app doesn't work for you. Maybe that funnel method I mentioned doesn't work for you. Maybe it's just literally putting it all in a notebook. I've known people to put it all in a notebook. Bottom line, you need to find a plan that's going to work for you. Then you have to push through. You have to follow up on the plan. Is it working? If not, circle back. Now, does this sound painful? Because for a lot of people, this might sound really painful. So then we have to revisit, though, why we have this goal and how we can motivate ourselves with a feeling of gratitude and compassion. So instead of punishing ourselves, saying, oh my gosh, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, let's look at it a different way based on this article and kind of what we've been talking about tonight. So my goal is to save 25% of net pay so that I have more options toward my retirement goals with the hope of spending more time with my family. So I have more options toward my retirement goals. Maybe if I save more money today, I might have more options in retiring a little earlier versus a little later. I might have retirement goal options that could maybe I could work part-time. Maybe I could travel. So save 25% of net pay so that I have more options toward my retirement goals with the hope of spending more time with my family. I have so much to be thankful for, and that consists of a close family relationship. It's not about things, it's about quality time together. As I go through this year and think of my spending habits, I need to keep the goal in mind of having more time with my family. I have done a good job working, and it has given me the opportunity to have options. That feels a heck of a lot better than Lori, and I'm making this up, but you know, like dramatic. I wanted to be an actress. No, I didn't really, but could have been. It feels a whole lot better than saying, you know, punish, 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 can't spend, can't spend, can't spend. It just has a completely different feeling to it. I mean, like, I'm getting soft and warm fuzzies about all of this. Want to go home and hug the whole family because I'm so excited that I have this new goal of saving 25% of my pay, my net pay, so that I can have more time with them and I have more options with them. Feels very, very different than, gotta save. I have very good friends, some best friends, love them to death, that the husband was so tight with money. He wouldn't let his wife buy a couch, and all the neighbors knew it. And anytime they were putting up furniture on the corner, they would call Jane and say, "Hey, Jane, I have a couch on the corner. I have a TV on the corner." I mean, that's painful. That's not fun. So you want to find a way to make this all work. Be clear on your goals. Set the goals. Be really clear on the goals. Identify what problems there might be or what mistakes you might have made in the past as to why you wouldn't have reached your goal. Find the root cause of that problem. Really dig deep. You just keep asking your question, a question after the question after the question after the question until you get to the root of that problem, and then you work on fixing that problem. All right? So that's just kind of a little exercise I think it would behoove folks to go through and change your mindset as to how you approach goal setting and meeting your goals in a healthier way, being embracing gratitude, compassion, and an authentic sense of pride. And let me mention, I think, you know, the gratitude is great. It's the compassion, I think, that some of us have to probably work on a little bit better, and that's compassion toward ourselves, compassion toward maybe not always making the right decisions, compassion toward ourselves for maybe, you know, taking a wrong path here or there, and, you know, treat ourselves like we might treat a best friend or our child or our parent when we're trying to soothe them or comfort them, you know, when something's gone wrong. We have to be more compassionate toward ourselves to move away from some of the bad decisions that we may have made or that have happened upon us in some situations, or take the responsibility for that decision making that wasn't so good, but being nice to ourselves. And then, you know, take that pride when you have made good decisions and be thankful and that you were able to get past, those mistakes or issues. What else are we looking forward to 2018, which we'll probably be talking about in upcoming shows? You know, regular listeners know we cover a multitude of topics. Generally, during tax season, we're quite focused in on taxes. We like to help the listeners work through questions they may have. So we'll have a lot of tax topics as we go through. Probably this year I'll be talking more about business structure because of the tax reform. There's going to be a lot of questions about self-employed people, Schedule C people, contractors. Maybe now is the time to become, you know, a business owner, an entrepreneur, and business structure around that and what that would mean and what it's going to look like in tax reform. Don't quite understand it all yet, but as I need to learn things, I do radio shows on them. I do topics on them. So, of course, if you have topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know. We want to make sure that we're being relevant and applicable to information that you want and that you think will be helpful. We'll be talking probably about the stock market a lot more this year. Again, the tax reform, housing, interest rate hikes. Tim Roof, a colleague of mine on our investment committee at Valley National, we're going to be bringing him on more often and talking about investments a little bit more probably and you know, what you have to be aware of. So we're looking forward to 2018 and all that we can do to help our listeners. We're so thankful to be here at WDIY and hope that we're bringing this education to our audience and that it's made a difference for you. And if it's made a difference for you, we love that you share that with your friends and family, because the beauty of WDIY is that it's available worldwide on the web at wdiy.org, and folks can stream live or listen to podcasts that we've had on prior shows. So I want to say a happy new year to everyone. Hope it is a wonderful new year, and trying to be very positive this year and visualizing good things. So thank you, listeners, for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. Lori, thank you for being here. Shandi, thank you for being here as well. Next week, I will touch on what we know about tax reform now and how it might be applicable to you. There was a little change for 2017, not too much, but 2018, you're going to want to be aware of some things as you prepare your 2017 taxes and what you need to watch out for 2018. So we'll talk about that more next week. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
Thank you, Lori. We always learn so much on Wednesday. And if you missed our show, please go to WDIY.org and you can catch it, all the shows that she's had played, and you want to hear everything she has to say because you learned so much. The time is now 7 o'clock. This is WDIY Allentown. Your current temperature tonight will be 16 degrees on Thursday, high near 27. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 5. Friday, mostly sunny with the high near 11 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 3. And Saturday is going to be 10 degrees, and Saturday night, negative 2. So continue to keep it here on WDIY.
Steve Bannon, Now News.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Trump says his former top advisor, Steve Bannon, has lost his mind and is only in it for himself. As NPR's Tamara Keith explains, the president's remarks followed the release of explosive excerpts from a soon-to-be-released book about the Trump